Hello, faithful listener. It's time for All About Symbian Insight number 59. In a week where everybody is packing to either A, go to Barcelona, hello Rafe, or B, stay as far away from Barcelona as possible, that would be Steve and I, we're here to bring you a little look back in the last week of Symbian and smartphone and PDAs and mobile stuff, of everything that's been going on. Cast our thoughts and look forward to the future. As always, your comments are welcome. Drop them to Rafe at allaboutsymbian.com, or if you don't mind doing it in public, then you'll be able to find all comments on the news post for this article as well. So, without further ado, now he's stopped his packing, it's a welcome to Rafe Blanford to the show.
Hello, everybody.
So, Rafe, you are going to be going to MWC later on in this week's report for us next week. We'll touch back on that later on in the show, so hold those thoughts for the moment. Staying safely here in the UK while we pick up all the press releases and still have a working Wi-Fi connection, Steve Litchfield.
Yes, hello, and using one of the things we'll be talking about in this show, of course, we'll be able to keep track of Rafe and exactly where he's got to in Europe.
Well, I suppose that gives us a perfect jumping off point there. That thing we're talking about is Google Latitude, which could be the greatest feature since sliced bread, a new little menu entry on the Google Maps system, or the death of every single mobile social network that has ever existed. Steve, tell us a little bit about it.
I think we'll go for a compromise somewhere in between the two extremes. I have to say, it's seeing all these different chat systems over the last few years, from the third-party ones like BuddyPing, BuddyCloud, and of course things like go on, give me the name of the one that's spelt wrongly in America.
Looped.
Is it Looped? Yes. Yep. I cannot stand the way these services can't spell a single word according to the Queen's English. Anyway, at least Google have used a word from the Queen's English that's in the dictionary, latitude, and it's even spelt correctly. So for that reason alone, they get my full blessing. What latitude is a complete cross-platform, and that's the important bit, a complete cross-platform solution that locates you, whether you're on a Java phone, S60, Windows Mobile, Android, or whether just sitting at a desktop browser setting your location, or even maybe with a laptop with some sort of location system. And on all these platforms, you're talking about location via cell towers, via GPS, or via Wi-Fi, and you can see all your friends on an opt-in base, whitelist basis. You can opt whether to share your full location, just your city, or to hide your location completely, and you can set your own status and what you're up to. There are a few things missing, and we'll probably come to that in a moment. But for me, the fact that this has been rolled out at the same time on all these different mobile platforms, with the might of Google behind it, and it's all tied into typically a Gmail contacts list, and you can simply invite all your Google friends, but with just a few clicks on your phone of whatever sort, and they can all be invited in a friendly way, and will end up being your Google Maps latitude friends. Means that this is for the first time ever amongst all these different mobile solutions, we've got something which has a fighting chance of actually taking off. And I can, at the same time, until this has got to the point where I can see, in addition to Rafe and Ewan and a few guys from people in Nokia and other companies that I know well from the extreme geeks, they're all in my friends list and I can see where they are in Europe. It's jolly good. But until this thing goes so mainstream that I can see all my friends from, the school playground, all the mums and dads of my daughter's friend, from my daughter's parents, once I can see them, once I can see the members of my band, once I can see the friends from church, once I can see all the people around me, and they're all in latitude to some degree or other, whether on their mobile, their PDA, their laptop, their desktop. When a significant number of those people from the non-geek world are actually on board, then it becomes seriously useful. At the moment, this is the best step forward in the social location sphere yet, in my opinion. I think this has got a chance. This has got all the others, including Nokia's Contacts and Ovi, have been geek solutions. This one's got a chance.
I think it's worth pointing out that you still have to have a Google account to use it. So there is still, you have to be a member, but the number of Google accounts out there must be in, you know, hundreds of millions and so on, whereas something like Nokia Ovi has to go from a standing start with just the N-series devices. So there's a much larger, immediately addressable user base here, but they still need to opt in, don't they, Steve?
I don't think it is limited to just Google accounts, so maybe Rafe can correct me here, but by default it offers to import and use your Google contacts, but you can put in anybody's email address and it will send an invite to that email address. They don't have to be a member of Gmail.
Yeah, that is correct. But of course, they would have to sign up to the service to start using it. At that point, they would need a Google account. Just to add in, I think that both you and are suffering slightly from wearing Google goggles, in the sense that, you know, Google is very pervasive in search terms, but outside of search, actually, it's not that widely used in some ways. Now, I'll qualify that with a big sort of disclaimer. Yes, it's obviously very popular, but, you know, something like Gmail, which, you know, in sort of, if you like, geek circles, is not universal, but, you know, a lot of people do use it. It still sits behind things like Hotmail and Yahoo Mail in terms of total user numbers. So, you know, part of me thinks that, you know, this obsession with Google services is particularly pronounced among geeks. Now, actually, that's helpful for Google in terms of early user testing. But I think in terms of accessing users, and I'm thinking here as a cost of acquisition of users, I think other companies may still have an advantage. And I thought, you know, Steve rather quickly wrote off contacts on Ovi there. And I think it has its problems. And I think it's probably fair to say that Latitude is probably more developed at this stage and maybe open to more platforms. But in the longer term, I think that could have just as much potential. With Nokia having, you know, 40% market share, I think it will be able to access just as many people in the long term. So sorry, giving you a few extra answers there.
So let me throw one of those back at you, Riff. You said there that it's the sort of thing that it's going to be for geek and tech circles. With the amount of people that are going to be in MWC next week, do you foresee that if you switch Latitude on, you'll have to zoom in really tight to see all the people that are going to be using this service? Is the use cases for Latitude, you know, regular, like, you know, Steve looking for his band members, or somebody like yourself at a very large, busy conference?
That's a good question. I think it's probably instructive here to draw a comparison to the emergence of Twitter at South by Southwest, which I know you've commented on in the past. And potentially an event like MWC is the same. Although, to be honest, with the sort of accuracy we're talking about, given current technologies, you know, yes, we all know we're in the same city, and the problems of indoor positioning in particular means that, you know, and the amount of updating that's going on means you'll be able to tell whether someone's maybe at the venue, at the conference venue, or somewhere else in the city. So I'm a little bit sceptical about the sort of usage scenario there, quite apart from the whole fact that you have to actually add people to your contacts list. And I think that kind of whitelisting approach works in the short term, but in the longer term, that kind of thing is maybe less realistic just because of the hassle involved. You know, I think it's the sort of thing in the longer term, you know, when you add a contact to your phone, that enables a whole load of functionality. That sort of adding of a contact should sort of include location stuff in the future rather than it being something you have to go back and add later, if you like. And obviously, there's all sorts of problems with standards there. And I'm fair. But yes, I imagine, I mean, I've already got a few people who I know are going to be in Barcelona on my Latitude list. And there's probably actually more on the contacts on Ovi list at the moment. So I may try out using both of them in the real world, but to be honest, I'm going to be pretty busy there. So the chances are, I'll be more a case of running into people in the real world at the right time, and I won't be needing the technology to help me. But I mean, I'm being deliberately a bit cynical there, but I do think this kind of technology does become tremendously useful at these kind of gatherings. And clearly, because it's a sort of tech focused, you do get a higher, you know, potential penetration rate. And, you know, just like, you know, SMS or any other mobile service, there's a tipping point. It starts becoming more and more useful the more people are on it.
Yeah, the big question is whether something like Google Latitude, even the bigger though Google is and cross-platform though it is, whether it, even it, can get to that tipping point. I have to say, when I started out with things like Nokia FriendView, and before that it was just Nokia Chat, wasn't it, with the
yeah, and then they sort of become contacts on Ovi now.
Yeah, but these systems, and in each case, I've launched into them guns blazing. I've added people like yourself and Ewan and a few tech friends, and in each case, that flurry of activity has ceased after 24 hours with no new friend requests, and it just stayed like that. The tipping point will come when, out of the blue, I will get requests from one of my friends not in my tech circle saying they want to be my friend on Google Latitude or whichever system takes up the mass market appeal. At that point, we'll reach the tipping point. I still think we're quite a way away. One other thing I wanted to mention, just finishing our description of Google Attitude. When you're looking at your friends list and where they are in the world and how long ago their last location was reported, and this location reporting does happen in the background, by the way, without necessarily needing the full application running on everybody's phone, you can just send your wife out the door with Latitude running in the background, taking up very little RAM, very little processor time. Just every 10 seconds or 15 seconds, it just fires up the GPS, checks the cell positioning, checks the GPS, and updates your status in the background. It's all very, very low maintenance. Once you've actually found looked at your list of friends, pressing the D-pad on an S60 phone, for example, and you've instantly got, in addition to their status, you've got shortcuts to call them, send SMS, get directions to exactly where they are. So if you're trying to meet up with a friend in a city, this would be very, very useful to get walking directions from where you are to your friend. And then you can set your privacy, your location, available to your friend on a friend-by-friend basis, so you can have different settings for different people. So Google have done very, very well. There are a couple of things that are missing from Google Attitude. There's no tie-in yet with things like Twitter and Facebook, and those are the two biggies. I would have thought, given that Twitter and Facebook have both got well-published APIs, it's going to be a complete no-brainer for Google to simply push your status updates and location up to those services if you so wish to do so. And I'm looking for those to happen in a new update fairly soon.
I think, it raises a couple of issues for me. The first thing is Google Attitude really is just a feature of Google Maps. It's not a full-blown service, although it's marketed as such. To the point of Latitude doesn't have its own web page. It has a landing page. But when you actually go to use Latitude online, it actually appears as a widget in iGoogle, as opposed to something in Google Maps, which leads to me that this is more the mapping thing. Steve's shaking his head on that one.
No, I was trying that the other day, Ewan. Yes, it starts off in iGoogle, but if you click through, you're in Google Maps and the full-blown desktop version of Google Maps.
Well, it actually still stays in Latitude because you can't, for example, get Street View, for example. It's a limited Google Maps. It's not its own service, is what I'm saying. It is, and you actually are making the point I'm trying to enunciate here. It's a service of Google Maps. It's not the Google Latitude service. It's Google Maps with Latitude finding, Street View, and so on. Did anybody see the cover of Metro newspaper reporting on this, by the way?
Yes, it was basically a Google privacy scare. You know,
Google put spy in your pocket was the headline in 30-point bold text. I love that.
And actually, I think this is a point that needs addressing. You know, privacy is a really big issue. And there's some obvious things about, Google having that data. Now, I'm perhaps less concerned about that in some ways, but obviously it's something that needs to be addressed, and I think could become very sensitive in the future, just as, you know, we're talking about any other sort of data rights and that sort of thing. But, you know, there's actually a bigger question in this for me, and this is, do we really care where other people are? Now, I don't have, you know, any problem with sort of doing a bit of location sharing, and I like trying out new things. But day to day, I'm not sure how much actual specific location information matters to me. I think maybe it wants to be available in the sense maybe for family, for safety reasons. And I don't mind sharing with my family and maybe some very close friends exactly where I am all the time. And that's sort of partly dealt with through the sort of filtering level that you can put into Latitude and other applications. But it's also, it strikes me with all of these services, and I think the same is true of any of the others, actually it's not really location that is the issue here. It's nearness, because you want to know whether someone is nearby you to arrange sort of a meeting in meet space or the real world, if you like, or whether someone's in another country, so it might be inconvenient to call them at that particular moment in time. So, you know, it does rather lead me to question whether the map-centric interface, which is what is happening with Google Maps and with Latitude and also other services as well, is really the best approach. And I think perhaps, you know, we should look at this being combined into, you know, the mythical Great Contacts application, or Address Book 2.0, as O'Reilly would have us call it. But it sort of also ties in with this sort of idea of presence and status that we're talking about. And how do you implement this in a way that is actually usable sort of day to day in the mass market? So I'm thinking here things like, you know, in your address book, you know, things should highlight red or move to the top when someone's near you, if you're specifying that you're looking to, you know, meet up with some friends or something like that. Or, you know, it could grey out a name if it's someone is on another continent and outside their calling hours and things like this, rather than being this kind of map-centric thing, which is pretty to look at, but to be quite honest, is a bit useless. So, you were talking about it being an additional service to Google Maps. You know, it kind of strikes me as the wrong way to approach it, and I think that's actually the bigger issue for the future of these location services, along with the thing that Steve was talking about in terms of the tipping point, and I think that's probably the most important one. And the issue I actually have with the tipping point is Latitude and all of these others require you to actually install or start up an application. Now, there are various ways around. You can have automatic startup or, you know, but until this sort of thing comes standard out of the box, just as SMS does, I wonder how far this will, you know, really go. And, you know, that has all sorts of implication for standards and, you know, maybe OMTP or whoever could sort something. Of course, this is not just a mobile issue. This extends to the web as well, and maybe W3C will have a say on this. And, you know, this sort of issue of location with the GeoMob folks who are looking at defining specialization all ties in there. And it's I welcome all these kind of services, but I do wonder whether practical, real-world, mass-market usage is perhaps further away than we might like to say. Good effort from Google, but I don't actually think it's particularly innovative, and I don't think they've been particularly smart in the way they've implemented it.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Yeah, I would agree with you there, Ray, that you're talking about Google Maps and Latitude being the wrong way around. It is, because I'm such a mapping geek, I have to say, the whole idea did appeal to me, and as you say, it's great playing around with this new technology, but you're absolutely right that back in the real world, at the end of the day, this thing should be done the other way around. It should be your contacts first, with the mapping data supporting it and giving you context. So yes, in that sense, I think even contacts on Ovi could develop to be the right way around if only they can get the traction. Ewan?
I would remember the surveys that I did when I was investigating mobile social networks, that the most common use for a phone, specifically a mobile phone, was to phone up somebody and go, "Where are you?" And well done, Latitude. That completely destroys any of the sort of call revenues for most of the pays you go for.
But that's rubbish, because at the moment there's no assurance that that location information is accurate. You can set it manually. You don't know when it's updated. Well, you do. You can look at the application, see it's updating. And for a lot of people, it's just going to be easy to pick up the call, quite apart from the adoption thing we're talking about.
Joke wasted.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, Ewan. But, you know, going into the map, it's just not a good implementation of this kind of thing. And I actually think, it will get, as I say, geeks all excited. It's a bit like this sort of meme that's been going around this week about Twitter going mainstream. I mean, oh my word, it's been on the front page of the UK newspapers because Stephen Fry got stuck in a lid. It means it's mainstream. Everyone's using it. It's absolute rubbish. You know, Twitter is, only being used by a relatively limited set of people at the moment. You know, you compare it to the number of text messages that are going back and forth each day, and it's absolutely tiny. So I think there's almost an obsession with location, and I think it's a good thing, and obviously I still think it's the way of the future, and this sort of thing is going to become more important. But to my mind, you know, location isn't really about a specific application. It's just about the broadcast of a little bit more information. And at the moment, your phone broadcasts to the cell network, you know, I'm here and this is my ID. And location will be something that goes along with that eventually. And maybe that's the way it sort of comes in. So it's just, I'm clearly, you know, playing the sort of devil's advocate here because, you know, we're all interested in technology. But I just sometimes think it's too easy to get excited like a runaway train, and I think Ewan, with your love of all things sort of social media and technology, you're quite prone to that, I hope you don't mind me saying.
Fine then, okay. We should do this on Twitter.
So Ewan, I have to ask, did you submit a UK snail hashtag to Twitter?
I did, yes.
Yeah, see that.
Do you know
I raised my case, my lord.
Do you know how much snow there's been in Edinburgh? About 4 minutes.
Oh dear.
I'm sitting there, I'm turning the TV on, and there's snow, and there's kids getting off school and sledges, and warm looking out, and it's bright blue sunshine, green grass, Tom Jones sitting on the balcony, singing everything, except that's kind of like Wales, but there we go, metaphor keeps going.
I think that's inside your head.
And nobody answered the big question about this new service from Google. Why latitude and not longitude?
Yeah, I was wondering how long that joke was going to take. I mean, yes, it does.
You've got to rely on me. If you're going to take my well-crafted joke, I'm going to have to go back to the fallback one, aren't I?
You are. But it's an interesting question. Actually, I don't think latitude is the best name for this service as well. I mean, as I say, I think it should be, you know, something like, where's everybody gone? Or whatever. I mean, yes, it's a joke. But it does actually kind of reinforce the point that this isn't really a specific application. It's something that should be integrated. And it's interesting, Nokia talk about social location rather than location on its own. And I actually think that's a much more instructive way to look at it, because it sort of gives a much stronger element to the social, which is, after all, what the location stuff is really about in the end.
Yeah, there's the other meaning of the word latitude, of course. Maybe Google were playing on, as in giving someone some latitude, i.e. some width, some breadth to do something and go far away, all those sort of those implications of the word latitude. So maybe they had that in mind. And it's certainly that latitudes are preferable named longitude, even just because it's shorter and easier to spell.
And is it longitude or longitude or longitude or whatever?
There anyway. Are lots of cases in the tech world where a slightly weird name has taken off because it's memorable and people think, well, that's odd, but they remember it. So maybe this
taking off in the tech world, maybe, not in the mainstream. He says grumpily.
Right then. As you can all tell, our Mr. Cynical will be moving his latitude slightly south and his longitude slightly to the west next week. Rafe will be taking the All About Symbian bandwagon down to the 3GSM Mobile World Congress on the coasts of the Mediterranean in Barcelona. Rafe, it's just a couple of folk looking over a phone, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You know, not very many people. I mean, one of the reasons I'm being Mr. Cynical and grumpy today is I've been setting up meetings and getting my schedule filled out for, I guess it'll be a week's time by the time this podcast goes out. And
it's like how many appointments you're going to be making and how much time it takes up.
Well, so far I'm fully booked for Monday, Tuesday and half of Wednesday and Thursday. So I do have some time left. So if anyone wants to meet up and show me something interesting, please get in touch, Rafe at allaboutsymbian.com. But yes, I mean, these things fill up very quickly because you're running between press conferences where I guess we can do a little preview of what maybe we think's coming. But there's, you know, up to 50,000 people go to Barcelona for Mobile World Congress. It is the biggest conference of the year. And there's announcements from everybody, which does lead to a slightly frazzled attitude as you're running around like a headless chicken. And much of the work, you know, has to go in before you even arrive in order to, you know, make the most of your time there. Just making sure you've got the times and the locations for all the right press conferences and your meetings. And, you know, we're also at this point planning out what we're going to do in coverage terms. And that includes me thinking about what I'll be writing about, but making sure everything goes smoothly on the back end. I know I've been talking to Ewan and Steve about how we'll cover the best things in the way that will hopefully give people the most complete picture, at least from a Symbian point of view. We will be obviously touching on other things that are going on, but I think it's probably fair to point out that even just keeping up with all the news in the Symbian world is going to be a big job. But of course, there will be stuff going on Windows Mobile, Android, Limo, feature phones, and, you know, I'm just talking about sort of mobile handsets here. There's services, applications, all the networking, the backhaul, business to business, you know, the list goes on and on. So, you know, I've been getting emails, everything from a solar powered base station right up until, you know, a service about how to get a job using just your mobile phone. So we'll be checking out much of those next week, but it will just be me on the ground. But as I say, I'm happy to meet up with anyone who wants to, but please get in touch soon as we are probably rapidly running out of time.
I mean, with all that, the time and the meetings, there's obviously a lot of people that we need to see again from Symbian, from Nokia and from the other manufacturers and software guys. How many of those meetings are people that we're already familiar with from an All About Symbian basis and we're doing follow-ups and keeping good relations? And how many of them are brand new things, new shiny toys that want to demo you something? Do you mean, what's the mix to old and new?
Well, I always deliberately try and keep a mix of that. You know, All About Symbian's been around a while now, so we're reasonably well known within the industry. So I'll be meeting up with some old favourites from Symbian in the Nokia world. But also I'm trying to meet with some, you know, one-man or small developers who want to show off their latest application, just to try and keep the mix there, because, you know, clearly people are going to be interested in the handsets and the service announced from the big guys. But one of the nice things about Mobile World Congress is you can get an overview of nearly everything. So hopefully it'll be a good mix. And I think probably looking at it at the moment, it's about 75-25. But it's, you know, I'd have to go and have a detailed look, Ewan.
Yeah, regular listeners to the show and watchers of the site will know that we do not speculate or talk about leaked handsets and rumours. But Rafe, any idea, rough idea of the number of new, us being all about Symbian, the number of new Symbian OS handsets that will be launched next week? Are we talking 1, 5, 10? Any idea?
I think, peering into my crystal ball, I think you could probably expect to see a minimum of 5 Symbian handsets announced next week. And there is always the possibility of more than that as well. And I think they will range from being multimedia devices. I think we'll see some more business devices. And I also think we'll probably see a mix of touch and non-touch devices. Vague overview. But I would stress that actually devices is only going to be one thing in the Symbian world. I'm expecting to see some more service stuff from Nokia and from some of the other manufacturers as well. I think there's been a lot of buzz around Android. We're probably going to see an awful lot of Android handsets. How much of an impact on the market is probably a discussion for another podcast. Certainly, Microsoft is going to be making a big announcement. Steve Ballmer is going to be there. So I would expect that's going to be an announcement about the next version of Windows Mobile. But, of course, that's open to speculation at this point. Palm will be there demonstrating the new pre-smartphone. I'm sure that's going to be very popular. I'd expect the GSM variant to get officially announced at MWC. What else off the top of my head? Oh, it's always tricky going through the list of things. But
Acer
smartphones, smartphones from Garmin, from iMate. And these are just some of the press things that have come through. So that there's also, of course, going to be maybe some movement on the Symbian Foundation. Whether we'll get anything too specific, I don't know at this point. But obviously, that's been underway for a little while now, so we'll certainly be getting an update from Symbian about how things are going there.
I mean, you've hit there with one of the three S's that I wanted to actually ask about, the first one, of course, being the Symbian Foundation. But secondly, Sony Ericsson. Sony Ericsson usually have something quite nice, and obviously in previous years we've seen UIQ, and that's not going to happen. But the other S, of course, that's going to be involved is Samsung. I mean, what are we expecting to see from those parts of the Symbian ecosystem?
Right. Well, I think I've already done the Symbian Foundation briefly. Looking at Sony Ericsson, it's always a tricky one. I mean, they talked about Symbian Foundation handsets in the second half of 2009, and typically Sony Ericsson do two big sets of handsets announcements each year, one at MWC and one in sort of the June timeframe. I would rather expect the Symbian Foundation handsets to get announced in the June event rather than at Mobile World Congress. I suspect we may see the next in the Xperia line from Sony Ericsson, as well as sort of various feature phones. There have been some leaks, which if people really want to go, they can go and find out about. But, you know, I'm always always open and willing to have a surprise. In terms of Samsung, I would think there's a very strong chance that we'll see another S60 handset from them. And we'll also see some movement from their developer side of things. They've actually announced the Samsung application store, sort of a pre-announcement. We'll be hearing more details about that, I'm sure, at MWC, and we should have some information about that on the site next week. Samsung are also sort of scheduled to do some Android stuff, so it'll be interesting to see what the balance is there. But Samsung are still very strongly committed to S60, so the question there is it going to be one Samsung handset, or are they going to announce more than one? I think they'll probably look to have something that makes real waves, would be my guess. So we'll have to wait and see.
Short of forgetting to book a hotel room so you and I had to sleep out on the beach, what's been your most memorable MWC moment over the last couple of years?
That's a tricky question there, Ewan. My first MWC, or 3GSM as it was then, was in Cannes. And I think the memory of realizing the hotel didn't have a reservation is probably one of the most horrifying. But Cannes was when they had loads of yachts and boats where they held meetings. So that had some pretty memorable occasions. But just I think probably the sheer scale of it is what sticks in the mind over the years. It really is a quite amazing event. Until you've been there, it's pretty difficult to describe. In one sense, it doesn't really matter, but you can guarantee that every year there's going to be some pretty good news out of it.
One last question, Rafe. Of course, you're fully booked during the daytime, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but you've also got Sunday evening, Monday evening, Tuesday evening, Wednesday evening. Are you A, out partying with all the different launch parties and getting sozzled? B, back in your hotel room frantically typing up features for All About Symbian? Or C, lying prostrate, exhausted?
Well, I would like to be honest here and answer that it's going to be all three of the above, because I will almost certainly be out partying at some point. But Steve, it's not partying, it's meeting new
it's
people.
It's creative.
meeting new people and hearing about new stuff. And joking aside, actually, it's when you get a chance to discuss with others what's being announced and sort of get some immediate opinion, you know, some back and forth on what the whole thing is. You know, nearly every year there's one or two handsets that stand out as being the highlights of MWC. And it's always interesting to see what the consensus is on that. But it's also, there's press events in the evening. For example, on Monday evening, I will be busy at a press evening rather than going to the Symbian Foundation party, simply because it's a chance to get around more companies, to meet more people, to make sure we're getting all the news. I'm sure I will be busy writing up, and I would imagine by Tuesday evening, and certainly by Thursday evening, I will be passed out from exhaustion, and make sure I set an alarm in enough time to get to the airport and get on a plane back home in order to record the All About Symbian Insight podcast in Friday in 2 weeks' time.
Well, there we go there. If you take any interesting or amusing pictures of Rafe, if you could email them to steve@allaboutsymbian.com and ewanspence@gmail.com, and we will make sure that we have a special place on the site just for them. And we'll also remove that page by the time Rafe comes home. It only remains for me to say thank you all you out there for continuing to listen to the Insight podcast. It was great to always have your feedback and realize that this motley crew of Radio 4 announcer, part-time musician and whatever I do for a living as well, brightens up your mobile life for 30 minutes. So it just remains to say, for me, to say goodbye to our erstwhile Charlotte Green sound-alike, Rafe Blandford.
Thank you so much, Ewan.
And also to say goodbye to the virtue that is the Steve Rick Wakeman of the Shed, Litchfield.
Goodbye, everybody.
And it's time for me to find a manhole and do my best impression of Norman Wisdom. Goodbye!